0891-567.
Join the conversation.
You're with Cape Talk.
So, I want to tell you about Zariah de Beek, a 28-year-old in the Netherlands that has chosen euthanasia. She will end her life next month. Physically, by the way, there's nothing wrong with her, but she's suffering from depression, borderline personality disorder, and she's autistic. Now, her psychiatrist has said things will never get better for her. That's her reality. Now, this story caught my attention because one often associates euthanasia with people who are going through extreme physical pain due to illnesses that, you know, illnesses like cancer. Not something that would appeal perhaps to a young and bodily fit. And so to explore more about this and joining you in the show in our life to speak about this is Dr. Helena Dolly, who is the co-founder of Love Legacy Dignity. Doc, a very good morning to you. Thank you so very much for joining us in conversation. How are you?
Thank you, Ab. Thanks for having me, and good morning to the listeners on this windy morning.
Very, very windy morning. Doc, I was telling listeners earlier on that the car driving in, I felt, oh my goodness, we could have liftoff here. I could be NASA.
Doc, I will not be riding a bicycle today.
No, please. If you're in the mother city or anywhere where there's weather warning levels, don't get your bike. Doc, I do want us to start off first. We'll get into the story a bit more, but tell us a bit more about your organization. What do you guys do at Love Legacy Dignity?
So Love Legacy Dignity, which I co-founded with Mapim Plango, is trying to normalize conversations about death. What we find is that people have a taboo around talking, and because they resist talking, it often means that families suffer when people die, but they suffer even more because conversations didn't happen and things were not prepared. So we try to work with healthy people, anyone who is willing to work with having their affairs in order, so that when the time comes, they will have peace in their hearts and their affairs in order, and that the family will be able to be all on the same page. And as one friend told me and said thank you, when her mother died, they were able to grieve because they were all on the same page. They didn't have fights between them. So that's what we do. And we are an advocacy group. So we do think that dying with dignity is important. And we write every week in News 24. In the life, live by design section.
Now, Doc, you know, I often find that, and I like that your organization is about the conversation. Mm-hmm. Because in our conversations, I mean, I remember even back in the days of Overnight Live, that was back in 2014, we still had this conversation where we were talking about the legalization of euthanasia, perhaps in South Africa, as in like, you know, other countries out there. And it's always been one of those conversations where there's never been a gray area. It's either you are for or it's either you're against. That's what I found personally. And I must say, I am for it. But I've always been one to be for it, but there must be controls around it. And I suppose that's a conversation you usually have with many people within your organization.
Yes, we'll talk to anybody who's willing to have a conversation. I think it's really unfortunate that our Bill of Rights doesn't cover dignity in dying. And euthanasia, it's the Greek word for a good death, and I agree with you that the controls must be in place. And it's really interesting, the case of Zariah de Beek, because as you said at the beginning of this interview and conversation, it's usually associated with people who are in extreme physical pain and have terminal cancer. And this is a different situation. This is psychological rather than physical.
I want to bring in the listeners very quickly into the conversation before we continue with it. On 021-446-0567, that's the number you can call in on 072-567-1567. What are your thoughts? What are your feelings toward euthanasia? Yes, we understand that in our country it is not legal to do so, but in other countries such as Netherlands, it is permissible to do so, and we'll find out more of how that works. But in your opinion, you are allowed to have an opinion when it comes to and Doc, once again, what did you call it? Euthanasia is death with
a
dignity.
A good death.
A good death. I've heard that in a movie somewhere, but I'll remember it. It was an emotional death also there. But to you at home, what are your thoughts on this? What are your feelings around euthanasia? Could it be? Is it something you'd be for in South Africa or against for in South Africa? 072-567-1567. Doc, is it common in the Netherlands then for people with mental health challenges to choose euthanasia?
No, it isn't common. And in fact, you know, if you look at the world over, the list of countries that have assisted dying, because that's commonly the term used as assisted dying, that it's controlled and that a doctor should be present and a doctor should prescribe the medication, and that all sorts of conditions should be fulfilled. So whether we look at Colombia, Austria, Canada, Luxembourg, New Zealand, Portugal, Spain, and several states in the United States, it's usually restricted to the physical, that there is a terminal illness and that there is a life expectancy where the doctors are saying we don't expect you to live more than 6 months. So that is usually the restriction. It's around the physical conditions of dying. Belgium and Holland are different. They are the two countries that I'm aware of where they permit the psychological state of being to be a consideration. And their definition of interminable suffering that has no resolution in sight is what for them is a condition that they would agree that the person has a right to decide to die with dignity.
If you have just tuned in, you're not lost. You're listening to, of course, the voice of Dr. Helena Donnelly, who is coming to us to chat about the issue of euthanasia. She is the co-founder of Love, Legacy, Dignity, talking to us. Well, I suppose the tension that brought the interview about is the story of Zariah de Brik, 28-year-old in the Netherlands, who has chosen euthanasia, where, as you've heard the good doctor, where physically there's nothing wrong with her, but she suffers from depression, you know, borderline personality disorder, and is autistic. And so the conversation is around euthanasia. What are your thoughts around this? If you care to comment, would love to hear from you. Doc, I believe we have a voice note that I'd like you to listen to.
Good morning, Abs. What an important conversation. I'm listening on my crackle radio in the kitchen while Chris, who is in late stage Huntington's now, listens to his favorite music, Imagine Dragons. And I really do believe that we need to talk more about the topic of dying with dignity. We are very isolated. Family contributions have been minimal. Input from organizations has also not been what I thought it would be. And I don't know if I'm going to cope anymore. But I know when I listen to the radio and I hear people like your guest speaking, that I have to keep advocating for people like my partner who want to die with dignity at home. Lots of love from Karen and Green King.
I don't know how to comment there, Doc, so I'll leave it to you perhaps to share any comments around this conversation.
The late stage Huntington's, I think, is a really difficult disease. My heart goes out to the caregivers. It's horrible to watch one's loved ones in such decline, and it can take a long time. And I think that is a very cruel thing for our society to expect people who love, they live with their loved ones and they are watching them die extremely slowly. And I think it would be humane, kind, dignified, and befitting of our Bill of Rights to allow people who have such conditions as Huntington's to decide that when it is that they that it's enough, and that they can say goodbye to their loved ones in a dignified manner, because there is no resolution in sight. It is totally terminal. That's a phrase. That's a strange phrase, totally terminal. But also dementia for me, several people have approached me and said, what about dementia? I'm watching my husband decline, and he wants to die whilst he's still conscious. And so, you know, you mentioned Zaria is a 28-year-old who is physically fit. You can be physically fit and have dementia. But, you know, what's the definition of quality of life? And what are the criteria that are needed in society, both physiologically and psychologically, to say this is enough? It is not okay to expect someone to carry on living, and it is not okay to expect caregivers to go through this emotional suffering of supporting their loved ones in their long dying.
And I mean, that's the other conversation here, Doc, in that it there is the patient, but there's also the caregivers, you know, and it's just an emotional roller coaster where I hope I'll never get to imagine, because one can only imagine what people are going through out there. Doc, I just want to bring it very quickly. There's lots of messages coming out on the WhatsApp line, and I'll share those with you. So do we know which countries allow for euthanasia? And also maybe your thoughts perhaps around the discussions. Do we think it will ever be legalized in South Africa? Is there a conversation around this within the South African organizations?
So I'm not hopeful at the moment, because the politicians have been resisting this conversation since for 28 years of our democracy. The first 2 years of our democracy, there was a conversation, and politicians had the courage to go through with the termination of pregnancy bill. So that was a bill that was carried forward. And then the politicians lost courage that this, for many people, would be difficult religiously. And for me, you know, I respect everybody's religious leanings and their spirituality, but this is an important decision for the country in terms of personal dignity, and it has to be done without being persuaded by different religious bodies. It has to be like the right to dignity over one's own body. And at the moment, our politicians do not have appetite for this discussion.
Talking about politicians, Doc, and I've got my own views on this, but you've previously quoted former Health Minister Aaron Motsoaledi saying doctors shouldn't play God. But I'll leave my comments out of it because they're not for radio. But what are your thoughts on this?
So, once upon a time, a couple of centuries ago, whether people lived or died, you could say was in the hands of God. Frankly, we have made such advances in medicine, and we can keep people alive on life support machines, that God is no longer in this picture much of the time. I'm sure there are miracles that do happen, but many times also, doctors say that they are the decision makers, and there is a patient activist group in this country that say, no, the patient's rights are paramount. It is the patient who should choose, and a patient has a right to refuse treatment. So, unfortunately, we do have doctors that play God, but their training is to save lives. And yet, if you look at the Hippocratic Oath and its intention, doctors were meant to be savers of life and easers of death. And that last part of caregiving of doctors has largely been forgotten.
Dr. Helen Idali is co-founder of Love Legacy Dignity, talking to us about euthanasia. And of course, we are asking you at home your thoughts around euthanasia, understanding that in our country it is illegal, it is an illegal practice, but in countries like the Netherlands, it is legal to do so. What are your thoughts, what are your views around this? On 072-567-1567, one says, I think it's Margaret, saying, I've told my family that if I am seriously ill, they must not do anything about keeping me alive. Thank you for that. Another message says, good morning, Abs. Hope you're fine. The thing I regret... Oh, this is another one. That's for another conversation. We'll get back to that one. Good morning. How is euthanasia viewed amongst different cultures? That is perhaps a question we would dive into. Another one says, good morning, A. I agree with euthanasia. What is the point in spending years of your life in pain when you can put a peaceful end to it? That is from Brian. Dana coming in saying, hi, Abs. Abortion is legal. Assisted dying should, without a doubt, be legal. I, as a sane person, should be able to make a decision. I have a right to die with dignity. Fully supported. Another message coming in from one of the listeners. Abs, I believe no church or government should dictate how to die. I believe we have one or two voice notes we can go to.
Good morning. Can you tell me whether euthanasia generally in these countries has less of a stigma than suicide, which it in fact is? Thank you.
Thank you so very much for those. Doc, after all those comments, I'm running out of time, but I've got this one question that says, but what is the counter argument around euthanasia? Yes, well, some of us are pro, but what is the counter argument?
Well, you heard the former Minister of Health, Vera Mazzoledi, who said it's in the hands of God. I'm stuck on this. I'm really sorry. I cannot engage with the counter arguments. I mean, they are generally religious, and I find them very difficult to countenance. When Archbishop Tutu said that he would like to have the right to die with dignity on his own terms when he was ready, I remember a prominent professional in the hospice movement.
Doc, it is a story around Zoraya de Brik, a 28-year-old in the Netherlands that has chosen euthanasia, a story that caught my attention, where she will end her life next month, where physically there's nothing wrong with her, but she suffers from depression, borderline personality disorder, and is autistic. And her psychiatrist has said things will never get better for her. So we have this conversation where one often associates euthanasia with people who are going through extreme physical pain due to illnesses like cancer. As Dr. Helena Donnelly, co-founder of Love Legacy Dignity, had alluded earlier on. Now, when we parted ways, Doc, the conversation was around the counter argument, where perhaps we can rehash that, where we want to find out, it seems like many of us are for euthanasia, but what is the conversation against euthanasia, so that we give both sides of the story?
Okay, so the first one is around religion. So for people who it doesn't fit in with their religious beliefs, then there are other ones which have nothing to do with religion at all, which are very important. There is the fear of lack of control. And in reading about Zoraya van Beek, you can see that the Dutch authorities are being very careful that all of their conditions, which govern your right to assisted dying or assisted suicide, as some people call it, are being followed. Whether it is physiological or, in the case of Holland and Belgium, but psychological as well. But there is a fear, and, you know, certainly in South Africa, it would say, you know, with our healthcare system, can we have confidence that regulations will be followed, the conditions will be followed, that we are under a lot of pressure in terms of medical capacity. The second argument against is that you could have vulnerable people feeling pressurized. So you have the elderly, the weak, people with who are mentally challenged, and that there could be pressure on them to opt for assisted suicide because their caregivers no longer want to support them. So there is that fear. And then there is a fear that too much power is in the hands of the doctors, and that it can compromise the relationship between doctor and patient. Doctors do have a lot of power at the moment, so I'm not sure how this would increase their power. And I think that what really matters is patient rights. And the last one, which has been very strong in some prominent members of the hospice movement, has been that palliative care can solve everything. So we see that in a situation of Zaria, it's not a matter of palliative care. Your caller who called in earlier, her husband is in late-stage Huntington's. Palliative care is not going to support the dying person or the family to have a better quality of life. So those are the four: the lack of control, the fear of lack of control of conditions, the fear that vulnerable persons will be pressurized, the belief that palliative care solves everything, and a fear of too much power in the hands of the doctors.
As we tie up the conversation, Doc, one message says, no one has the right to impose their personal religious beliefs on me and my right to end my life if I choose. That's from Janine. One says, Abs, I believe no church or government should dictate how you die. And then the last one is from Leah saying, assisted dying, 100% in favor. Just one quick one before I let you go. And I think we've got an understanding of the conversation. On your website, there's something called the Death Cafe. Tell us about that. Have you had any members who have chosen euthanasia?
So the Death Cafe is much lighter. If you actually go to the visuals, it actually has a dancing skeleton. The Death Cafe is a worldwide movement. There are more than 1,000 death cafes over the world. And it was begun by a Swiss psychologist called Café Mortel. There are death cafes in Simonstown, in Cape Town. There are several. And it's an informal group of people. We began this conversation by saying there's a taboo about talking about death. So death cafes are for people who do want to talk about death to have a place to come to talk. And it can be anything. How do I declutter my storeroom so that when I die, I don't leave it for my kids? What do we think about caregiving and dementia? I've got a loved one who's dying. What do I know about how best to support somebody who's dying? So it's shooting the breeze on a particular topic about dying and being a little bit more light about it.
Ah, okay. At least the conversation keeps on going. I like the name, The Death Cafe. It sounds like I should be introducing a movie, The Death Cafe.
I would encourage people to go to the Purple File on our website, which is a freebie, and which is about having one's affairs in order.
Talking about that very quickly, if people want to continue the conversation with you, Dr. Hanley Dunley, how do they go about getting in touch with your organization?
Helena@lovelegacydignity.com. That's the email address.
Doc, thank you so very much for joining us in conversation. To you at home, also, thank you so very much for joining the conversation with Dr. Helen Conley, who is a co-founder of Love Legacy Dignity. It's a tough conversation. It is not a light conversation. There are really valid reasons for those who are for. There are valid reasons for those who are against. And I've always said that conversation. And as Dr. Hanley said, conversation is the best way to go about it, because we continue to learn from a conversation, we continue to educate one another, and we continue to grow. Coming up next, Gavin Gray.